Turn to the second portion of scripture that we read together, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, and we'll consider this morning verses 21 to 28. Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. The woman of Canaan who had the daughter grievously vexed with the devil, and the daughter was healed. We have here a woman of great faith. What is faith? It's a very important question. In a sense, nothing is more important than faith. It's by faith we're saved. By grace are you saved through faith. If we've got faith, we'll be saved. And if we don't have faith, we won't be saved. Remember the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16? He asked the vital question of Paul and Silas. What must I do to be saved? And a clear answer was given. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe. That's what's required. Just believe. Believe and you'll be saved. Think of Philip, Acts chapter 8. He went down to Samaria and he preached Christ to them in Samaria. And we're told that the Samaritans received his word. They hearkened, they listened. And they believed and they were baptized. That's what's required. Faith. Later on in that chapter, Philip was sent to the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And there he met the Ethiopian eunuch. And he heard him reading the scriptures in his chariot, reading from Isaiah 53. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, by his stripes we are healed. Led as a lamb to the slaughter. Of whom speaketh the prophet this? The eunuch asked Philip. Who's he speaking about? Is he speaking about himself or about somebody else? And Philip went up into the chariot and started to explain to him the passage of scripture, and to tell him that it's speaking about Jesus. And as they went along, they came to a place where there was some water. And the eunuch said to Philip, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And you remember what Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Faith is required before baptism. For adults, faith is required before baptism. If thou believest, thou mayest. And what did he say? He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so Philip baptized him. We need faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you have faith? Saving faith. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? It's faith that saves. And yet it's not really faith that saves. It's Jesus that saves. But Jesus saves through faith. Faith is the instrument. Faith is the hand that clasps hold, as it were, of Christ's hand. Faith is the channel through which salvation flows to our soul. This morning, I would like us to look at the characteristics of faith, to look at this incident, the narrative that we have here before us, and to see what it tells us about faith, about this grace which is so important. So the first thing we notice about faith is that it comes to Jesus. Verse 21, Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, from the same area, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me. Many people believe in God, but do they believe in Jesus? Lots of people say, yes, I have faith. And they have faith in this divine being, in this great person. And they pray. When they're sick, when they're in danger, when they're in trouble, they'll pray. But they don't have faith in Jesus. You see, it's not enough for us to come to God. We must come to Jesus. And do you see the difference? Yes, Jesus is God. But Jesus is the God who became man and who took our sins upon himself and who died on the cross. And Jesus is the only Redeemer of God's elect, the only Saviour. There's no other Saviour, no other name given under heaven among men through whom we must be saved. She comes to Jesus. Now she did it by walking. But for you it's easier. You don't have to walk anywhere. You can come just as you are. You look to Jesus. And yet you don't direct your eyes anywhere. It's in your heart. You look to him. You focus on him. You trust in him. You come to him. You address him in prayer. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's a matter of looking, calling, addressing. And Jesus is not far from any one of us. Romans 10 speaks about that. You don't have to ascend up to heaven to find him. You don't have to go into the depths, into the grave, or anywhere else to find him. You don't have to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. He's near to every one of us. The word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt believe in thy heart the Lord Jesus, and shalt confess with thy mouth thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So faith is coming to Jesus. And it's not a matter of coming once. It's coming always. Coming and keeping on coming. Coming every day. Looking to Jesus. Trusting in Jesus. Praying to Jesus. That's faith. Here's this woman, and she comes to Jesus. So she's an example to us. Have you come to Jesus? Really come to Jesus. And then the second thing we notice about her faith is that she's unworthy. It's vitally important to realize this. We don't come to Jesus as worthy people, as deserving people. We come to Jesus as poor sinners. And there's nothing we can do to make ourselves acceptable to Jesus. Some people think, well, if I stop doing this and give up this bad habit and maybe stop smoking or stop drinking or stop pornography or whatever it might be, and then I'll start praying and I'll start reading the Bible and I'll start coming to church, then maybe he'll have mercy on me. But no, that's not the way. We can't prepare ourselves for it. We can't make ourselves worthy. We can only come to Jesus as poor sinners. Poor, undeserving sinners. There's nothing we can do to prepare ourselves. This woman, she was a Gentile, an outsider. She came from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, and she was a woman of Canaan. Are you an outsider? Somebody who's on the way to hell? Just like this woman. And faith says, come to Jesus. Come as you are. You don't have to change. You can't really change yourself. You come to him to change you and to make you new. So she comes then as an unworthy person, and faith comes as an unworthy person. And then the next thing we notice is that she had a felt need. She cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. She says, have mercy on me, because my daughter's in trouble. And you see how she identifies with her daughter. And it's like that, isn't it? When we have children, we feel for our children. If our children are sick, if our children are suffering, do we not feel for them? Of course we do. Their problems are our problems. Our life is tied up with our children. And so this woman, she's looking at her daughter. She sees her daughter in a real mess. And she's troubled about it. And she says to Jesus, have mercy on me. Do you feel your own need? Your need of salvation? Your need to be forgiven? Your need of making peace with God? Your need to hear Christ saying to you, go in peace, your sins are forgiven you. You're a child of God. You're saved. You're on the road to heaven. Are you conscious of your own danger? Are you praying for yourself? And then are you praying for others? So there was a felt need. And in faith feels a need. And it's because of this felt need that we come to the Lord. Faith comes as a poor, needy soul to Christ. The next thing we notice is that she recognizes who Jesus is. She says, "Thou Son of David." She says, in fact, "O Lord, Thou Son of David." She recognizes that Jesus is Lord. Lord and Master and King. Is he your Lord? Is he your Master? There were lots of people at this time and they were seeing Jesus and seeing his miracles, and he would cast out devils and he would give sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf and open, and he would raise the dead and he would feed the multitudes. And yet, they didn't see Jesus as anybody special. They didn't recognize that he was the Messiah. And they shouted to Pilate, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" But this woman, she recognizes Jesus as the Lord, the Master. And she recognizes him as the Son of David. David was the great king of the Old Testament, and he was, as king, a type of Christ, symbolizing Christ, pointing forward to Jesus, Jesus who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. She comes to Jesus and she says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David." Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is the Son of David. Do you recognize who Jesus is? Do you see him as the Son of God, as the King, the Master, the Ruler, the God-appointed Savior? You go right to the very beginning of the Old Testament, and there you're told about the seed of the woman who would bruise the head of the serpent. And right down through the Old Testament, Abraham is told about the seed, the child he would have, through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And do you recognize Jesus as the Messiah, the great Savior? Faith recognizes Jesus. And then next we notice that faith is persistent. Faith is persistent. She cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me." Now, in Greek, actually, as you know, the Bible was written, the New Testament, in Greek. And if you go back to the original Greek, you'll find that in the Greek, it's actually a bit stronger than we have it here. Not just she cried unto him, but she kept crying. It's the present tense, the continuous tense. So the idea is that she cried unto him and cried unto him and cried unto him and kept crying unto him. She was making herself a nuisance, as it were. She wouldn't give up. And that's faith. I won't give up. I come and I come and I'll keep coming. And I will not let you go unless you bless me. Sometimes people say to me, "Oh, I prayed for salvation and nothing happened." But what kind of prayer was it? "Lord, save me," and then they carry on just as they were before. A kind of prayer off the top of their head. Or is it this persistence, this earnestness, this crying? Have you cried to the Lord for mercy? Have you kept crying to the Lord for mercy? I'm not going to give up until you get mercy. Remember how Jacob wrestled with God and would not let him go until he blessed him. We've got to be like that, persisting. Faith doesn't give up, it persists, crying unto him. And the next thing we notice about faith is that it didn't give up even with the discouragement of the disciples. Verse 23. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Now, there was this woman crying to Jesus for mercy. And she could see the disciples saying, "Send her away. She's annoying us. She's a bother." She could see them. She could hear what they were saying. And that must have been very hard for her. Sometimes the Lord's people can be very discouraging to those who are seeking. And sometimes they're quite offensive and maybe lacking in patience and concern and compassion. Are we going to let it bother us? Are we going to say, "I'm not going to be a Christian because Christians did this to me and Christians did that to me and they let me down and they despised me," or whatever? Well, here's a woman, and it didn't matter what people did, she kept coming to Christ and she kept calling on Christ and she wouldn't give up. And she said, "I don't care what other people say. I don't care even what Christians say. All that matters is I want to be saved. Lord Jesus, save me." Must have been a real trial for her. There she came to Christ. And the disciples were saying, "Send her away. She's a nuisance." But she wouldn't give up. And then we notice Jesus' own discouraging actions and words. She came to Jesus, but he answered her not a word. Verse 23. Sometimes God doesn't answer us, it seems. And you're praying and nothing happens. How can that be so? Well, sometimes he wants us to continue praying. And sometimes he doesn't answer us at once. As Spurgeon said, because our Heavenly Father loves to hear us coming to him. And so he lets us carry on coming because he delights in us coming and praying and asking for help. And so he leaves us and he tests our faith and tests our persistence. But notice also Jesus' discouraging words. Verse 24, he says, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." From the time of Abraham down to the day of Pentecost, salvation was for the Jews, and it seemed to be restricted to the Jews. There was the occasional person from outside the family of Abraham, Rahab the harlot, Ruth the Moabitess, Ittai the Gittite, the Philistine, Naaman the Syrian. There were ones or twos, but really, to a large extent, it was just the house of Israel. It was just the children of Abraham. And so Jesus says here, "I am not sent." And he didn't go out preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. He said, "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And here's this woman, and she didn't belong to Israel. That must have been really discouraging for her faith. To hear Jesus saying, "I'm not sent to people like you. I don't help people like you. You're not an Israelite." And yet she doesn't give up. Because faith never gives up. Faith doesn't turn away. Faith doesn't get discouraged. She's determined. And so we see that next, she comes worshipping and praying. Verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She comes again, again, and again. She came and worshipped him and said, Lord, help me. It's too important a matter to give up. Your soul depends upon it. Your eternal happiness depends upon it. It's not a long prayer that she has. Not an eloquent prayer. It's really quite short. But it's earnest. It's meaningful. Long prayers can often be the prayers of the Pharisee, not heard by God. But look, God loves these sincere little prayers. God be merciful to me, a sinner. The publican came up to the temple and prayed and went home justified. But the Pharisee prayed, Lord, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, or even like this publican here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He was thinking he was so good. But he went home just as he came. Got no blessing. Empty prayers. But here's a little earnest prayer. Lord, help me. It came from the heart. There was persistence in it. And that's faith. Lord, help me. Have you prayed that prayer from the heart? But then we notice Jesus' even more testing words. Verse 26, but he answered and said to her, it's not meet, it's not appropriate to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. That was really hard. Very racist, really, wasn't it? To call her a dog. She was a Gentile. She's called a dog. It's not right to give the children's food. The Jews are children. You're just a dog. See how Jesus is testing this woman, trying her, making it really hard for her. But he's drawing out her faith. You see, faith overcomes every obstacle. Faith won't give up. Faith, like a limpet, clings to the rock. And the more you push it or shove it or pull it to try and pull it off the rock, the more it sticks to the rock. Faith clings and will not give up. She could easily have taken offense and walked away. But her prayer wouldn't have been answered if that happened. And you and I can take offense sometimes at the church and at Christians and at the Bible and at God. But if you do, you'll get no blessing. But those who come in true faith, nothing will offend them. Nothing will upset them. And they keep clinging. They keep clinging to the Lord. She keeps clinging and keeps hoping. Notice her reply, though, to Jesus. Verse 27. She said, truth, Lord. He had said, it's not right to take the children's food and give it to the dogs. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. What an amazing reply. Yes, Lord, I'm just a dog. But the dogs get the crumbs. The dogs get the little bits that the children drop. And all I'm looking for is a crumb. But are you not asking for your daughter to be healed? Surely that's a great thing. No, that's just a crumb. It's just a crumb to you, Lord. It's nothing to you. You're so great. You're so powerful, so mighty. It's just a crumb for you to heal my daughter. I'm just a dog. I know I'm just a dog. I don't mind being called a dog because I know I am a dog. We are all dogs, really. We're sinners. We're nothing. We deserve hell. Every day of our lives we sin. And here she comes and she says, it's not meat. She says, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And we notice then Jesus' reply. Verse 28. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Jesus was no racist. It's interesting that the two people that he commends most were Gentiles for their faith. There was the centurion, the Roman centurion. And Jesus said to him, or concerning him, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I have not found so great faith. The centurion, he said to Jesus, I'm not worthy that you should come in under my roof. Just say the word, give the command, and it will happen. I'm a man who has people under me, under my authority. I say to this soldier, go, and he goes. I say to my servant, come, and he comes. Now, you say, healing for my servant, and it will happen. He had great faith. I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And he says concerning this woman, woman, great is thy faith. He's saying to her, you've got faith greater than all the Jews. There's not a Jew that has faith like you. You're greater than any of the Jews. You're the greatest. We see Jesus' appreciation of this woman's faith. Faith shines when it's tested. Be it as thou wilt. And her daughter was healed from that same hour. Faith. Never allowing yourself to be discouraged. Coming to Jesus, feeling your need, realizing that Jesus is able to help you, to save you. You keep on coming. Nothing will hold you back. And you cast yourself on the mercy of God. Have you come to Christ? Are you keeping on coming? Are you clinging hold of him? Do you realize your need of him? Remember, it's such an awful thing to die without Christ. Such an awful thing. I was reading just this past week in the writings of John Bunyan concerning hell, sighs from hell and groans from hell. What a terrible place hell is. How awful to die and to find yourself as the rich man did in hell, in torment. A torment which will never come to an end, where the worm dieth not, always eating away, and the fire is never quenched. How painful it would be to have to hold a red hot iron in your hands. Imagine what it would be like to be in hell forever. The awfulness, the pain. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, come to me, look to me, trust in me. Why end up in hell? Why end up in misery forever? When Christ is able to save, and willing to save, and mighty to save. And he's saying, look to me and be saved. There's life in one look at the crucified one. Salvation in Christ. Freely available to all who will come to him, to all who will believe on him. Will you come to Christ and believe in him and trust in him as your own Savior and cast yourself upon him for your own salvation, for your children's salvation, for your loved ones' salvation. And fellow Christian, keep coming every day. Keep believing. Don't trust in some past experience. Don't say, oh, I made a decision for Christ 20 years ago. I'm okay. Faith is ongoing. We are to live by faith and walk by faith and grow by faith and go on every day coming to Jesus, trusting in Him, depending on Him. And it is by grace, by God's sovereign, unmerited favor, by grace through faith that we are saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. O Lord our God, grant the gift of faith. Open the eyes, open the mind, open the understanding. Help us to see what is meant. Help us to appreciate afresh Jesus Christ. Help us to come to Him and to allow nothing to offend us. Nothing to keep us back. Not to care about what people say or think, but to care only about Jesus and about salvation. Grant to us, Lord, that saving faith. Bless us then, each one, to draw near to us and draw us near to thyself, forgiving all our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
We shall close our service by singing in Psalm 106. Psalm 106, we'll sing verses 1 to 5. The tune is Bernard. Psalm 106, verses 1 to 5. Tune Bernard, number 96, number 96 in the old Psalm book and 107 in the new. So Psalm 106, verses 1 to 5. Give praise and thanks unto the Lord.